Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Yirmiyahu Perek Hey, the fifth Perek of Yirmiyahu. This Perek now actually takes us back to an earlier stage and age in Yirmiyahu's life. This is really at 5 years into his prophetic career. He is a young prophet. He's in the times of Yoshiyahu HaMelech. A little bit of background over here. Yoshiyahu HaMelech was brought up, he was put on the throne by those who murdered his father. At the age of 8, he was a young king. He carried on the sort of the general foreign policy of his father, which was subservience to the nation of Assyria, to the empire of Assyria. But as he grows up and as he grows older, what happens is, first of all, Assyria starts falling. They start getting attacked by Babel and have internal and external issues to deal with. At the same time, also, Chilkiyahu the Kohen finds in the construction or in the renovations of the Beis HaMikdash, finds the Torah. Apparently, these were not available easily to people then, and he brings it to Yoshiyahu, reads it to Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu Melech is so transformed by this experience that he starts a spiritual reform of his own. But before doing so, he sends a delegation to the prophetess Chulda. Chulda is a prophetess who lives in Yerushalayim. She's by the Beis HaMikdash itself, and he says to her, "Can we reverse the prophecy of destruction which we see imminent through these words in the Torah?" And she says to him the ominous word. She says, "No, it is too late. The Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed." Can you imagine that? Here he wants to make change, and there's no way to change it. That's what she's essentially telling him. At this point in time, Yoshiyahu launches into a spiritual reform of the nation. His only option really is to try to prove her wrong, is to try to change this nation, to try to change a nation so decrepit, so invested in the indulgences, so invested in the Avodah Zarah. He uses all the power he has from his royal throne to be able to eradicate Avodah Zarah. He destroys Avodah Zarah. He has a police force which seeks it out into people's houses. And in fact, it goes on to describe the psukim we saw in Melachim Beis, as he destroys the altars of the kid burnings, of the children burnings to Molech, and he gets rid of all these different places of Avodah Zarah. And it really is an incredible movement. It's at this point in time that Yoshiyahu HaMelech feels that he has really achieved a spiritual revolution. But Yirmiyahu on this perek is sort of the voice in the background over here describing what he sees on the streets during those days. So he sees a lot of change in action, but listen to the way he describes it. So at the beginning section of this perek, which runs for the first 9 psukim, he describes, Shatatu b'chotzos Yerushalayim, ru'u na'u du'u bakshu b'rchoaseh. Go around and look in the streets of Yerushalayim. Im timso ish, im yesh oisem ishpot mevakesh imunah ve'eslach lo. I'll forgive Jerusalem if there was just one person who was in fact practicing emunah and righteousness. Now, by the way, first of all, this is a much stronger claim than Avram Avinu, meaning Hashem says he will save the city for one, not 10 people. Just interesting point to think about. But nonetheless, he's saying that it sounds like there's nobody who lives with emunah. They may practice, they may show external actions of penitence, but they certainly have no emunah. There's no emunah internally. And he says, "V'im chai Hashem yomeru." And if they say, "Oh, by the love of Hashem," you ask them how they're doing. "Baruch Hashem, we're doing just fine. Oh God, help us." No, he says, "Lachen la sheker yishaveu." They're talking nonsense. They're lying to you. They don't believe in God. Einecho halo le'emunah hikiso esam v'loy cholu kiliso me'anu kachas musar. You hit them, you smite them, they refuse to learn from it. Chiz kupenei misela, their faces are harder than rocks. Me'anu lo shuv, they refuse to return. V'ani amarti, ach dalim heima, no'alhu ki lo yadu derech Hashem ishpat elokehem. They're poor people, they're impoverished, they don't even know the way of Hashem. Therefore, says Yirmiyahu, therefore, the Ariyeh is going to come. The Zeiv aravos yishoradeim, the wolf is going to come. No'mer shokeid al arehem. The wild beasts are going to come from the outside, obviously exemplifying the nation. The Mephoshim debate who these are. Rashi says Ariyeh is, of course, Bavel. As you saw, the lion is Bavel. The Ze'ev, the wolf, is Madai Media, which is going to be their associates. And the Namer is Assyria. So we're talking about pretty bad things which are going to happen because of all of this. And Yirmiyahu says it's all coming because really at core, no change has really happened. And he describes the decrepitness of society. Because Eilos Oseslach, who shall I forgive you for? Banaich Azavuni, your children have left me. By Yeshavu Belo Elokim, by Shpiyah Samayinofu Beis Zonadis Godadu, they go to the house of harlots, susim, miyuzonim, mashkim, hoyu ish, el esh Israel, yitzalu, adultery being committed, ha'ayel el alav kod, no, Hashem, shall I ignore this, says a God? So Yirmiyahu is saying, I'm looking at this nation, and although on paper it may be that, you know, there's no idols there, but there's no imuna either. It's all fallen apart. That's why the Gemara and Shabbos, Kuf Yotas, Amud Aleph says the pivotal sin over here is the sin of the lack of imuna. They don't believe in God, although they may show, they may pretend, they may have parties which pretend that they believe in God, but they don't really care about Hashem at all. And Yirmiyahu then goes on in this parak to talk about this age. He talks about the consequences for this denial. He says in the next section, in Yud to your test, he talks about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring all these nations on them. I'm going to, in this very powerful description, he says, I'm going to put my words in your mouth like fire, Yirmiyahu, and this nation will be wood, and your words will consume them. So Yirmiyahu has been trying to help them, well, ultimately with the prophecy, that will be the prophet of doom as well, to bring them to the destruction. And he talks about this nation which is going to come, a nation they don't understand, they don't know their language, they're going to come and destroy them and completely eat up everything of theirs, eat them themselves. And when you say, and then you're going to wake up one day and say, God, how could you do this to us? And then Yirmiyahu, you tell them, like you served false gods in your land, I'm going to take you to false lands to serve those gods. Meaning, you brought in Assyrian idolatry. You brought in the practice of child sacrifice. You serve the Babylonian gods when you serve them. Well, you know what? I'm going to bring you to those lands. The Chumash Tanach, the Chida says this is Midah Keneged Midah, Kodesh Baruch Hu is pointing out. I want to just make a sad observation over here. Something worthwhile noting. And that is that Yoshiyahu does not die at the hands of the Assyrians or the Babylonians. Yoshiyahu, the optimistic king, the greatest reforming king in all of Jewish history, the one who changed the tide of the nation of Israel, as Tanakh describes. Yoshiyahu Melech ultimately died in the hands of Egypt, who was traversing through the land of Israel to fight Babylon in a coalition with Assyria. And it's interesting that Yirmiyahu makes his own kina, which we say on Tisha B'av, Yekonen Yirmiyahu Yoshiyahu, that Yirmiyahu makes his own kina on Yoshiyahu's death. But that's not what he's saying here. You see, he's not talking about the immediate, what the Egyptians walking through the land. That's going to be Yoshiyahu's fate. That's games compared to what's about to happen when it comes to the destruction that Bavel is going to render. And that's what Yirmiyahu is saying over here. Be very, very careful. Israel, not Yoshiyahu. Israel is the object now of his sentence. Finally, the last two sections of this parak goes from Chof to Chof Hei. This next section is about seeing Hashem in the natural order. And he says, to tell all the people of Yehuda and Israel the following. Well, Israel, Beis Yaakov and Be Yehuda. He says, Shimu no zois, am sochol va'enev, anayim lohem v'lo yiru, oznayim lohem v'lo yishmu. Do you not have eyes or ears to notice? You're not going to fear me. That I made boundaries to the sea that they'll never go over the land. They try to storm the land. They don't. And then he says, but this nation has a wayward spirit. So it's interesting. What are we supposed to be learning from nature? We look at the natural order. How's that supposed to help Israel know and understand this? The Malbim says there's two types of fear. There's natural fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then there's fear which is based on our choice and our decision making. So what Yirmiyahu is saying is the following. You look at the sea, ultimately, you know, there's a lot of power that the waves have, but ultimately there's a larger system which keeps them in place. So it's true that ultimately you make decisions, you make bad decisions, but it shouldn't allow you to tip over the boat. It shouldn't allow the boundary to be blurred about going too far. But nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, I gave you space, that your predetermined fear, your free will decisions are going to be strong enough to overthrow yourselves, even though it's against the general order and power of the whole system. That's how far free choice goes, even to one's own self-destruction. Finally, Yirmiyahu concludes, and this goes from Pasuk Chof Vav to Lamed Aleph, and he describes that because of all the evil that we have in our midst, because of all the terrible things going on, Batehem Meleim Mirma, houses full of deceit, Al Kain, Godlu Vayashiru, because we became so rich and opulent, Shomnu Oshsu, Gam Avru Divrei Ra, Din Loidanu, Yidin Yosam Yatzlichu, Vimishpat Evyonim Loishafot, and they don't take justice on those who need to be protected in society. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, how can I ignore this? And finally, he concludes the prophecy with a very powerful statement, and that is, Hanevi'im nibu basheker v'kohanim yudu al yadehem, that the prophets gave them false prophecies. The Kohanim keep handing out the good stuff to people. Ami ohavuchein, and the people love this. Umatas ulachrisa, what are you going to do for its end? Meaning, as the Radak points out over here, in the end of the day, you know what? People are comfortable. People are happy. They've got their estates. They've got their swimming pools and their tennis courts. Everything's fine. Nothing's really happening over here. The prophets are the prophets they elect are the ones who want them to massage their lifestyles and tell them what they want. And they're happy with that. The prophets are happy getting their salaries. The people are happy getting these watered down messages which don't demand any change. And society is all right. And says, Yirmiyahu, what's going to be at the end? Where is this going to lead? And you can hear Yirmiyahu's frustration because nobody is listening and they think that these external expressions are sufficient. And oh boy, are they not. That's what Yirmiyahu suggests over here. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.